Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelites out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 20th of December 2017. This is my 330th Word for Word show. We're in the book of Jasher. And if you want to follow along and don't have a copy, you can go to www.sacred-text.com/CHR/APO/Jasher/index.htm, and it'll have everything that I'll be reading. I have corrected a lot of the translational errors according to other Hebrew texts that I have. There's no Hebrew text available for Jasher that I know of, okay? But they put in the typical thing. They have the Lord and all of that instead of Yah or Yahweh. And this is a little different timeline. Now, as we get into chapter 2 of Jasher, it's Yashar, actually, Sefer Yashar, the Book of the Upright. Yashar is not a proper name. It is a description, the Book of the Upright. In chapter 1, there were two types of Adam. There were the little A Adam, which was general population when they created, Yahweh created the Adamic people. That's the race. And capital A Adam, which is a proper name, which is a specific Adam, a person chosen by Yahweh. He was formed by Yahweh. Okay, because the progeny is going to go out and marry Adamic women. Okay, who would they marry? Well, there were other Adamic women on the planet, not just Chawa or Eve. So you don't get confused there. Well, who in the heck are they going to marry? Well, there were other people here when they were kicked out of Eden. Okay? They came into the earth, this one that we live in. Okay? Let's get started. Verse 1 of chapter 2. And it was in the 130th year of the life of Adam, that's the capital A, Adam, upon the land, because they were no longer in Eden. They were out here. That he again knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare a son in his likeness and in his image. And she called his name, and in the the KJV in Genesis 5:3, it says Sheth, which means replacement, saying, because Yah has appointed me another seed in the place of Habel, not Abel, Habel, for Cain has slain him. That was in chapter 4, verse 25. Okay. Why so long? What do you mean, why so long? 130th year. She had to go through some gestation periods to cleanse her womb because she had been seduced by the Nakash and bore Cain. Then she had to go through another series of gestation periods, and she bore Habel, and Cain killed him. Well, now she's going through another series of gestation periods. Cain's gone. He's out running around making little demons. Now, where did Cain get his wives? Well, there were other people on this plane of existence. We're talking about two planes of existence. There was a portal, evidently, between Eden and the planet Earth. Does that sound far-fetched? Not for Yahweh. Okay. Verse 2. And that you can reference Genesis 5:6. And Sheth lived 105 years. And he begat a son. And Sheth called the name of his son Enosh, saying, because in that time the sons of Adam began to multiply and to afflict their souls and hearts by transgressing and rebelling against Yah. Okay, Enosh. Verse 3. And it was in the days of Enosh that the sons of Adam, or men, it has men here, but it's continued to rebel and transgress against Yah to increase the anger of Yahweh against the sons of men. Okay? This is not the same kind of timeline that's in Genesis. This is accelerated. Verse 4. And the sons of men went and they served other Elohim, gods, small g, and they forgot Yahweh who had created them in the land. These are Adamic men. We sinned then, all the way in the beginning. And in those days, the sons of Adam made images, that's small a Adam, made images of brass and iron, wood and stone. They bowed down and served them, and every man made his Elohim, and they bowed down to them. And the sons of Adam forsook Yahweh all the days of Enosh and his children. Oh, man. Now, that's not Enoch. That's Enosh. Different guy. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled on account of their works, that's the idols they made, and abominations which they did in the land. Now, there evidently was a small population, and they were living in a particular part of the country. Verse 6. And Yahweh caused the waters of the river Gihon to overwhelm them, and he destroyed and consumed them, and he destroyed the third part of the land. Big flood. And notwithstanding this, the sons of Adam did not turn from their evil ways, and their hands were yet extended to do evil in the sight of Yahweh. Okay, this is back in the old days. People just lived off the land. They didn't have to sow or reap. Verse 7. And in those days there was neither sowing nor reaping in the land. There was no food for the sons of Adam, and the famine was very great in those days. They weren't successful in agriculture. Here's what Yahweh did. Verse 8. And the seed which they sowed in those days in the ground became thorns, thistles, and briars. For from the days of Adam, that's capital A, Adam, was this declaration concerning the land of the curse of Yah, which he cursed the land on account of the sin which Adam, capital A, Adam, sinned before Yahweh. Remember, you're cast out of Eden, you're going to have to work. Okay. That was the law as of then. Boom. You don't get a free ride anymore. You're going to have to earn it. If you want to live here, then you're going to have to work. That's just how it is. Well, they were stuck. Verse 9. And it was when men, I'm just going to start reading what it's in here instead of converting everything. When men continued to rebel and transgress against Yah, and to corrupt their ways, that the land also became corrupt. Stop right there. What do we got today? Genetically modified organisms. Crops, GMO crops. The land is corrupt because they dump all these chemicals on it. The air is corrupt because they spray all that crap up there. The water is corrupt because they dump stuff in the water. The crops are corrupt. The people are corrupt. We're all the way back at the beginning. And we wonder why Yahweh is upset with us, because we're bowing down to all these gods. Not all of us. The Christian identity people aren't, but most of the others are. So what, you're going to expect something else from Yahweh? He isn't going to tolerate that. So we're getting hit here. Wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff, we're coming down the end here. We've done all of this. We've had the Messiah come. He laid down his life for us. And the ones that killed him still deny him. And they've been persecuting and killing the rest of us. And on and on and on. Verse 10. And Enosh lived 90 years, and he begat Canaan. Now, verse 11, that's Genesis 5, verse 9. And Canaan grew up, and he was 40 years old, and he became wise and had knowledge and skill in all wisdom. And he reigned over all the sons of men, and he led the sons of men to wisdom and knowledge, for Canaan was a very wise man. and had understanding in all wisdom, and with his wisdom he ruled over spirits and demons. You don't get that in your King James Version, okay? Spirits and demons were the fallen ones that got cast down here with the Satan, okay? Lucifer. And Canaan knew by his wisdom that Yah would destroy the sons of men for having sinned upon the land, and that Yahweh would in the latter days bring upon them the waters of the flood. Okay, this is pre-Noah. Verse 13. And in those days Canaan wrote upon tablets of stone what was to take place in time to come, and he put them in his treasures. Verse 14. And Canaan reigned over the whole land, and he turned some of the sons of men to the service of Yah. Verse 15. And when Canaan was 70 years old, he begat 3 sons and 2 daughters. Verse 16. And these are the names of the children of Canaan. The name of the first was Mahalalel, or Mahalalel, either one. The second, Enon, and the third, Mered. And their sisters were Adah and Zillah. These are the 5 children of Canaan that were born to him. Verse 17. And Lamech, the son of Methusael, became related to Canaan by marriage, and he took his 2 daughters for his wives. And Ada conceived and bore a son to Lamech, and she called his name Jabal, or Yabal, because there is no J in Hebrew. It's Yabal. And she again conceived and bore a son and called his name Jubal, and instead of Jubal. And Zillah, her sister, was barren in those days and had no offspring. Verse 19, here we go again. For in those days the sons of men began to trespass against Yah, and to transgress the commandments which he had commanded to Adam, capital A, to be fruitful and multiply in the land. Now, what are they talking about here? Verse 20. And some of the sons of men caused their wives to drink a draught, that's something that would render them barren, in order that they might retain their figures and their beautiful appearance might not fade. Vanity. Verse 21. Made them sterile. And when the sons of men caused some of their wives to drink, Zillah drank with them. Verse 22. And the childbearing women appeared abominable in the sight of their husbands, like widows, while their husbands lived. For to the barren ones only were they attached. Well, they lost some of their looks. They got a little fat, got a little girth after having the babies, and the men didn't want anything to do with them. They were shallow, selfish, didn't pay attention to the childbearing wives. And that's sin. That absolutely terrible. Verse Okay, verse 23. Listen to this. And in the end of days and years, when Zillah became old, Yahweh opened her womb, and she conceived. Verse 24, and she conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Tubal Cain, saying, after I had withered away, I have obtained him from the Almighty Yahweh. Okay, Cain means acquired. I have acquired Tubal, basically. Verse 25, and she conceived again and bore a daughter, and she called her name Naamah, for she said, after I had withered away, have I obtained pleasure and delight. Verse 26. And Lamech was old and advanced in years, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And Tubal Cain, his son, was leading him. And it was one day that Lamech went into the field, and Tubal Cain, his son, was with him. And whilst they were walking in the field, Cain, the son of Adam, came toward them. For Lamech was very old and could not see much, and Tubal Cain, his son, was very young. Verse 27, and Tubal Cain told his father to draw his bow. And with the arrows he smote Cain, who was yet afar off, and he slew him, for he appeared to them to be an animal. Verse 28, and the arrows entered Cain's body, although he was distant from them, and he fell to the ground and died. All right, there is the death of Cain, the killer of Hebel. Verse 29. And Yahweh requited or returned Cain's evil according to his wickedness, which he had done to his brother Hebel, according to the word of Yahweh which he had spoken. Verse 30. And it came to pass when Cain had died that Lamech and Tubal went to see the animal which they had slain. And they saw, and behold, Cain, their grandfather, was fallen dead upon the ground. Verse 31. And Lamech was very much grieved at having done this, and in clapping his hands together, he struck his son and caused his death. Verse 32, and the wives of Lamech heard what Lamech had done, and they sought to kill him. Verse 33, and the wives of Lamech hated him from that day because he slew Cain and Tubal Cain. And the wives of Lamech separated from him and would not hearken to him in those days. Wouldn't listen to him. Verse 34. And Lamech came to his wives and he pressed them to listen to him about this matter. And he said, verse 35, and he said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, O wives of Lamech. Attend to my words, for now you have imagined and said that I slew a man with my wounds, and a child with my stripes, for their having done no violence. But surely know that I am old and gray-headed, and that my eyes are heavy through age, and I did this thing unknowingly. In other words, it was an accident. I didn't mean to kill Cain or the boy, because he thought Cain was some kind of animal. He just shot. And he swung his arms together to clap his hands, and evidently he hit that boy in the head and broke his neck. So, verse 36, and the wives of Lamech listened to him in this matter, and they returned to him with the advice of their father Adam. But they bore no children to him from that time, knowing that Yah's anger was increasing in those days against the sons of men, to destroy them with the waters of the flood for their evil doings. Verse 37. And Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, lived 65 years, and he begat Yared, not Jared, Yared. There is no J in Hebrew. And Yared lived 62 years, and he begat Enoch, not Enosh, Enoch. Okay, so that ends chapter 2. Now let me take a real close look here at chapter 3. I've got a full half an hour to go, no problem. And there's not a lot of notes here, and I'm going to go for chapter 3 here. Verse 1 of chapter 3, you can reference Genesis 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with Yah after having begot Methuselah, and he served Yahweh and despised the evil ways of men. In other words, he was a righteous man. That's Enoch that wrote the book of Enoch, which I will be getting into when we're done with this and some other stuff. Verse 2, and the soul of Enoch was wrapped up in the instruction of Yahweh, in knowledge and in understanding, and he wisely retired from the sons of men, and secreted himself from them for many days. Yeah, I get my tongue in front of my eye teeth and can't see what I'm saying. Verse 3. Oh, I love this stuff. This is marvelous. Let me get a hit of coffee here. Oh, yeah. Verse 3. And it was at the expiration of many years, while he was serving Yahweh and praying before him in his house, that an angel, that would be a messenger. Okay, see, they translated these words like churchianity words, not angel, messenger. That a messenger of Yahweh called to him from heaven, and he said, "Here am I." In other words, yes, sir, here I am. Verse 4, and he said, "Rise, go forth from your house and from the place where you do hide yourself, and appear to the sons of men, in order that you may teach them the way in which they should go, and the work which they must accomplish to enter in the ways of Yahweh. In other words, he was going to be an evangelist. And that's cool. He got the call, in other words. Okay. Verse 5. And Enoch rose up according to the word of Yahweh and went forth from his house, from his place, and from the chamber in which he was, and it has concealed here. And he went to the sons of men and taught them the ways of Yahweh. Okay, in other words, they didn't have an excuse. This is how Yahweh wants you to live. Taught them the ways of Yahweh, and at that time assembled the sons of men and acquainted them with the instruction of Yahweh. Verse 6. And he ordered it to be proclaimed in all places where the sons of men dwelt, saying, where is the man who wishes to know the ways of Yahweh and good works? Let him come to Enoch. In other words, come to me, and I'll teach you what Yahweh wants you to know, because he's speaking through me. And all the sons of men then assembled to him, for all who desired this thing went to Enoch. And Enoch reigned over the sons of men according to the word of Yahweh, and they came and bowed to him, and they heard his word. Verse 8, and the Spirit of Yah was upon Enoch, and he taught all his men the wisdom of Yah and his ways, and the sons of men served Yahweh all the days of Enoch, and they came to hear his wisdom. Verse 9. And all the kings of the sons of men, both first and last, together with their princes and judges, came to Enoch when they heard of his wisdom. And they bowed down to him, that's out of respect, not worship. And they also required of Enoch to reign over them, to which he consented, because he was smarter and wiser, and they were going to prosper. Verse 10, and they assembled in all 130 kings and princes, and they made Enoch king over them, and they were all under his power and command. Verse 11, and Enoch taught them the wisdom, knowledge, and the ways of Yahweh, and he made peace among them. And peace was throughout the land during the life of Enoch. Now, if we obeyed Yahweh, if all of the Israelites were in obedience to Yahweh, we all repented and came to Yahweh's law again, what would our life be like? Think of that. That's coming. Yeshua's returning. Verse 12. And Enoch reigned over the sons of men 243 years, and he did justice and righteousness with all his people, and he led them in the ways of Yahweh. He led them in the ways of Yahweh. I'm trying to underline that. My pen skipped. Verse 13, and these are the generations of Enoch: Methuselah, Elisha, and Elimelech. Three sons and their sisters were Milcah and Naamah. And Methuselah lived 87 years, and he begat Lamech. Pardon me. Here's verse 14. You can reference Genesis 5, verse 5. And it was in the 56th year of the life of Lamech when Adam, capital A, Adam, died. 930 years old was he at his death. He didn't live the 1,000 years. 70 years short. And his two sons, with Enoch and Methuselah, his son, buried him with great pomp, as at the burial of kings, in the cave which Yah had told him. Not the two sons of Adam, the two sons of Enoch, or, you know, buried them. Verse 15, and in that place all the sons of men made a great mourning and weeping on account of Adam, capital A, Adam. It has therefore become a custom among the sons of men to this day. Here you go. Verse 16, and Adam died because he ate of the tree of knowledge. In other words, he had sinned. He and his children after him. In other words, he brought death into the world. When they were kicked out of Eden, they lost their immortality. And that's just how it is. We're stuck. Today, we're not immortal anymore. And having to pay that price. He and his children after him, as Yahweh had spoken. All right, verse 17. And it was in the year of Adam's death, which was the 243rd year of the reign of Enoch. In that time, Enoch resolved to separate himself from the sons of men and to secrete himself as at the first in order to serve Yahweh. In other words, he's going back to his ways. He didn't want to be a king. Verse 18, and Enoch did so, but did not entirely secrete himself from them, but kept away from the sons of men 3 days, and then went to them for 1 day. He'd leave for 3 days, and he'd come back for 1 day. Verse 19, and during the 3 days that he was in his chamber, he prayed to and praised Yahweh, his Elohim. And the day on which he went and appeared to his subjects, he taught them the ways of Yahweh. Okay, he was teaching the ways of Yahweh. And all they asked him about Yahweh, he told them. In other words, he was a master instructor. Verse 20. And he did in this manner for many years. And he afterward concealed himself for 6 days and appeared to his people 1 day in 7. And after that, once in a month. And then once in a year, until all the kings, princes, and sons of men sought for him. And he desired again to see the face of Enoch and to his word, but they could not, as all the sons of men were greatly afraid of Enoch, and they feared to approach him on account of, and this is how they have it written, of the godlike awe that was seated upon his countenance. In other words, he probably glowed because he was so close to Yahweh. Therefore, no man could look at him, fearing he might be punished and die. All right, let's fast forward to Moshe. When he came down the mountain from getting the law, he had to have a veil because people couldn't look at him. That was not the first occurrence. Here's the first occurrence of that. The glory of Yahweh was upon this man. Wow. Verse 21, and all the kings and princes resolved to assemble the sons of men and to come to Enoch, thinking that they might all speak to him at the time when he should come forth amongst them, and they did so. Verse 22, and the day came when Enoch went forth, and they all assembled and came to him, and Enoch spoke to them the words of Yahweh, and he taught them wisdom and knowledge. And they bowed down before him, and they said, may the king live, may the king live. Verse 23, and in some time after, when the kings and princes and the sons of men were speaking to Enoch, and Enoch was teaching them the ways of Yah, a messenger of Yahweh then called unto Enoch from the sky and wished to bring him up to the sky to make him reign there over the sons of Yah, as he had reigned over the sons of men upon the land. That's the sons of Yah. That would be the messengers or angels would be ruled by this man who was so holy. The heavenly host. He was not going to see the first death. All right? He was going to be immortal. Verse 24. When at that time Enoch heard this, he went and assembled all the inhabitants of the land and taught them wisdom and knowledge and gave them divine instructions. And he said to them, I have been required to ascend into the sky. I therefore do not know the day of my going. And now, therefore, I will teach you wisdom and knowledge and will give you instruction before I leave you how to act upon the land whereby you may live. And he did so. Verse 26, and he taught them wisdom and knowledge and gave them instruction, and he reproved them, and he placed before them statutes and judgments to do upon the land, and he made peace among them. And he taught them everlasting life and dwelt with them some time, teaching them all these things. Taught them everlasting life. Well, what did Yeshua do? He taught us everlasting life, our Messiah. We're returning back to the early times. Think on that. We had that at one time, and we blew it. Verse, let me get a hit of water here. And at that time the sons of men were with Enoch, and Enoch was speaking to them, and they lifted up their eyes, and the likeness of a great horse descended from the sky, and the horse paced in the air. Verse 28, and they told Enoch what they had seen, and Enoch said to them, on my account does this horse descend upon the land. The time has come when I must go from you, and I shall no more be seen by you. Verse 29, and the horse descended at that time and stood before Enoch, and all the sons of men that were with Enoch saw him. Verse 30, and Enoch then again ordered a voice to be proclaimed, saying, where is the man who delights to know the ways of Yahweh his Elohim? Let him come this day to Enoch before he is taken from us. Verse 31. And all the sons of men assembled and came to Enoch that day, and all the kings of the land with their princes and counselors remained with him that day. And Enoch then taught the sons of men wisdom and knowledge and divine instruction. And he bade them serve Yahweh and walk in his ways all the days of their lives. And he continued to make peace among them. And it was after this that he rose up and rode upon the horse. And he went forth, and all the sons of men went after him, about 800,000 men, and they went with him one day's journey. Verse 33. And the second day he said to them, return home to your tents. Why will you go? Perhaps you may die. And some of them went from him. And those that remained went with him 6 days' journey. And Enoch said to them every day, return to your tents, lest you may die. But they were not willing to return, and they went with him. Verse 34, and on the sixth day some of the men remained and clung to him, and they said to him, we will go with thee to the place where you go. As Yahweh lives, death only shall separate us. Verse 35, and they urged so much to go with him that he ceased speaking to them, and they went after him and would not return. Verse 36, and when the kings returned, they caused a census to be taken in order to know the number of remaining men that went with Enoch. And it was upon the seventh day that Enoch ascended into the sky in a whirlwind with horses and chariots of fire. Verse 37, and on the eighth day, all the kings that had been with Enoch sent to bring back the number of men that were with Enoch in that place from which he ascended into. Verse 38. And all those kings went to the place where they found the land there filled with snow. And upon the snow were large stones of snow. And one said to the other, come, let us break through the snow and see. Perhaps the men that remained with Enoch are dead. And are now under the stones of snow. And they searched, but could not find him, for he had ascended into the sky. And that ends chapter 3. Now we're going to get into chapter 4 on Friday. And this is an exciting ride. There's so much in this. I really can't hurry this, you know? It would do it a disservice. I'm trying to take my time so I don't skip things. This is an old copy. I have had this thing for, well, it was printed in 1990, okay? I've had this for 17 years, this copy. And it's, I've got lots of notes. So I want to give you the benefit of all of those. We're really not in a hurry. There's 91 chapters, and if I do two chapters, even one, each show, it's not like we have an agenda that we have to rush through this. We have to get it done by this date. Let's just all study together and enjoy this, because to me, Jasher is special. It gives us a lot more information and fills in a lot of gaps. We've been wondering about things. Well, this sort of fills all that stuff in. I consider it a blessing, you know. We're going to get a lot of information in all of the Apocrypha as we go through all of these books. All of it may not be precisely our cup of tea or accurate, and it may raise some questions, but undoubtedly, without a doubt, there is so much more information to be had out there. We don't know a lot more than we do know. And in these last days, information is being revealed, like with Eli and Pastor Greg Howard and myself doing Yahweh's Covenant People on 2nd Esdras. That reveals so much and is a great, great teaching book. So, we need to cherish this time that we've got while things are hanging together and I can put these shows on and they're not kicking my door in and filling me full of holes for teaching the truth. Like they've done so many others. Yahweh will protect. We need to have faith in our Father in heaven. And not worry about what they're going to do. Just keep on keeping on. And hammer away at it. And reap the benefit of his words. So I'm coming down the home stretch here. I've finished the lesson for today with chapters 2 and 3. My website, where you can get all these shows, if you've missed any of my shows, either the Wake Up Call or the Word for Word series, they are at https. /// pastor-steve.com. That it's not an interactive site. that eliminates the problem of trolls. It's a download and listening site. That's what it is. We don't have hackers. We don't have fights. We don't have disagreeing opinions and all of that. It's strictly a teaching site. It's not there for chat. We got plenty of that all over the place. All over, you know. Chat rooms everywhere. And it's strictly a site for learning scriptures. That's all it's about. So there's that. And of course, Brother Hebert's site, this is all one word, thinkoutsidethebeast.com. You'll find a lot of stuff there. You can go to David James' website. He's got a lot of stuff. David is much more prolific than I am. He does videos and all of that. He's a computer whiz. He's very talented. You got Pastor Dan. You can get a hold of him. Oh, man. I mean, we just got so many people and so much information to convey. It's such a pleasure. Well, it's almost time for me to quit here. I need to live a little space. So, Yahweh bless and keep you, and I'll talk to you again on Friday. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.